Hey, it's our week off, but we're still coming to your phone.
You thought we were taking a week off. Tricked ya.
Not really. We're actually taking a week off.
But... Swipe or no swiping? No, we're not really taking a week. I mean, we're not. Hey, it's surprise Sunday drop.
It's Trashy Divorces, but it's a surprise. It's a bonus. It's not our standard formula. We're putting in some different stuff.
We hope you are enjoying our weekend off. We are not. We are currently Marie Kondoing the F out of this home. So we've taken a quick little break.
It's our last time recording in the room that we've been recording in.
In the room where it happens. The room where it happens.
Fans
the room
on
where
too.
It happens.
I have to
it's going to be weird.
Edit this.
Anyway, so today we're coming at you just to give you a little reminder. Season 2 coming back next week. Do we drop a hint?
It's about a trashy father and a trashy son, and you will know these names.
I want to be like you, Dad. Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon.
It's basically a...
There you go.
Sad, sad set of stories.
Work on that for a week. Anyway, what are we doing this week? A little something special.
We have opted to grab a couple patron...
clips.
We do this thing on Patreon that we call Trashy Tidbits.
Where we sort
of follow up on stories from our episodes. And so we've had things like... Rudy Giuliani employs a pedophile priest who happens to be the pedophile priest who helped him annul his marriage. Like, it's cool, right?
Right. About Six the Musical. I wish I'd known about Six the Musical currently running in West End. That tickets are £8, you guys. If you're in London, go see this musical and tell me all about
it. And it's going to Chicago.
It is going to Chicago. Hi, Larissa. I can't wait to get your report on Six the Musical.
Anthony Weiner's back. Like, we're just sort of following up on stuff that, you know.
Normally this is midweek after we've had a cocktail with, you know what I really wish I would have said.
Right.
This week we also, if you haven't caught it, if you're not following us on social, which is where we drop this, we're on Twitter at Trashy Divorces, Facebook at Trashy Divorces. There is a Trashy Divorces discussion group too on Facebook, which is kind of fun. We're at Trashy Divorces on Insta. If you missed all those, because you don't follow social media, be sure to go to patreon.com, Trashy Divorces. I did a follow-up episode this week that we dropped and made all access about the trashy relationship of Zelda Sayre and Scott Fitzgerald and Ernest Hemingway.
It was quite the triangle. I did not know that.
Like, that's the extra 40 minutes that would never fit in an episode.
Right.
But listeners, for anybody who really is Team Zelda, please go check that out, because I was remiss in leaving Ernest out as a crux in part of that demolition and breakdown. So there's the other half of the story.
Sure. Yeah, I think we're going to clip in a little follow up on the Charles and Di story.
We are. So today you're going to hear a few clips.
Oh, Nostrology is like, if you're... Hashtag Team Stacy on the astrology
about the astrology eye roll.
Perhaps it will delight you.
Hey, if you're hashtag Team Alicia and thinks that there may be 30 seconds of valid in this, or just enjoy Stacy's eye roll, I promise. Good listeners on both sides of the fence for what you're going to hear. No, today we're clipping in a little Patreon bonus stuff, astrology. A little follow-up about Charles and Diana.
Yep.
And maybe one about Six the Musical, because I'm obsessed.
Sure.
But if you like what we're doing here, please consider joining us on Patreon for as little as $2 a month. You get shout-outs at different levels. You get stickers and swag. We're going to be mailing our, oh my God, they're so good, super cool new stickers that came in to our new patrons next week.
Oh, and we'll have a store up next week, too. It's very exciting.
We will have a store up next week by the time season 2 goes live.
Shirts, and if you need a onesie...
For your baby. For your trashy baby.
Or your dog.
Oh,
that says Trashy
Divorces. Or your cat.
Horses.
Let's not discriminate against pets. Pigs.
Oh,
squirrels.
Sure.
What else?
Yes, your squirrel. You need a onesie, a Trashy Divorces onesie for your squirrel. We can accommodate that.
Anyway.
I guess it's a big squirrel, though. That's it's an upsettingly large squirrel.
I don't think the onesie would fit Bethany's kid. She's like Shrek, right? Anyway, consider joining us there. Like $2 a month, you get all the fun behind the scenes. Mm. We've normally had a cocktail, drinking goodies, and other smart-ass musings of our imagination.
Sure.
So we're back next week for season two. Stacey, do we have anything else to tell the people before they get this new breaking bunk science?
Well, we are aware that we forgot to shout out new patrons in our last episode, and
we're doing everybody in the season two premiere.
Yep.
Done and done.
Y'all.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
You know what? It may be worth doing a poll. Team Alicia, Team Stacey. Do you eye roll? Do you believe in it? I don't know. Enjoy Nostrology. I think you will find, clever listeners, that Stacey went in with a smart-ass idea that turned out to be real science. That's all I'm saying.
Ah, no.
After that, we'll clip in some more Patreon bonus stuff. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I hope you're looking forward to season two like we are. Thank you for every download. Thank you for sharing us with your friends.
Yep.
Thank you for all the good buzz. We have had, give me an adjective that describes how magnificent season one has been.
Monumentific. Stuporific, which I think might actually be a word in medicine.
Joyous. Incredible. Top of the charts. I like it that you're really getting into this made up whole new science you
got. I mean, this podcast is nothing if not Pimpossible.
Ah, we're going to leave it on Pimpossible. It's Trashy Divorce's code word. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Yep.
We'll check you back next week for season two.
It's going to be big.
And the silver spoon, little boy blue, and the man in the moon.
White House.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Patreon. Bye. Hi, patrons.
Hey.
It's another fine episode.
Hello, patrons.
For you today. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, no, I know you are. I'm also excited about this because
I'm excited about this because I get to share.
Once again, feel like my sarcasm has made me look like a genius. So.
Well, I get to share with the world what exactly how much of a smartass you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoy showcasing.
As do I.
All the ways in which
basically,
you are my favorite smartass.
My favorite thing is just being a smartass.
Okay, listeners, you know, if you've listened to, you know, half of an episode where I've done a story. I am probably going to throw in some astrology. And for those listeners who do not appreciate that, some of you do.
Hey, we know, yeah, plenty of you are really into that. We get it.
For the ones who are not into that, Stacey's eye roll that you can see through the podcast.
Hashtag Team Stacey.
We know a lot of you guys like her eye roll that you can see through the podcast too. And they say this isn't a visual medium.
It's weird, but I'm pretty sure that conveys, yeah.
So after, I don't know, somewhere up 9, up 10, where I maybe got really into it, you decided to come up with some...
I made a chart.
...bunk science of your own.
I made a chart.
Talk to the people, Stacey.
So, you know, each sign has an element, of which there are four.
That is true.
So I developed what we have come to call Nostrology.
Nostrology.
So Nostrology is essentially it's a fresh look at what happens when the elements, the earth, air, fire, water, elements collide in a Trashy Divorces way.
So this is the unveiling.
It's the unveiling. We have a graphic.
Of it, which will be posted.
We'll post the graphic.
The unveiling of the Trashy Divorces Nostrology chart.
Yep.
Trashy Divorces will not be held responsible for your interpretation, misuse, or reading of this chart.
Alicia, do you know what happens when a water and a fire sign get married?
When a water and a fire sign get married? No, I don't.
They turn to steam.
You want to know what couples we have this season that we've covered?
Steamy couples?
That are steamy couples?
Tell me.
Ike and Tina.
Okay.
L. Ron Hubbard and his second wife, Sarah. Sex cult magic goddess.
He had too many wives and I can't keep track, so I can't even evaluate whether that's
no second solid. One sex cut. I have
steamy.
Nicknames
Is
for all.
Steamy?
Oh, yeah. Sex cult magic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eric Clapton and Patty Boyd.
Yeah. Steamy.
As well as Henry VIII and my third favorite queen, Catherine Parr.
Yeah.
There's your steam.
Interesting.
Pretty cool, huh?
I think with Ike and Tina, Boyle might have been better.
36 cents. Talk to me about Fire and Earth. What do they make?
Fire and Earth? When they get married, they form lava. And just as an interjection, we have close friends who are a fire and earth relationship. And Alicia's been very clear with them that despite their years of happy marriage, it is obviously in the stars that they will break up.
You are a lying liar. Our very good friends, Red and Machete.
Red and Machete.
I may have been talking about astrology at brunch this past weekend.
And people who brunch.
Brought up what a horrible idea fire and earth couples were together before I realized the couple I was talking to. To disclaim, just a little bit, we have something in every one of your smart ass holes in this chart from a couple that we have done.
Smart ass holes? That sounds dirty.
It's trashy divorces. So earth and fire.
Lava.
We 100%. Now, I know you think this is all bunk science. However, Red, I would have picked for fire all damn day. Machete, no way. He's got another ascendant in his chart that is not Earth, and I actually have taken upon myself to do their charts just so I can prove I'm right. Anyway, our lava couple that was featured this season on Trashy Divorces.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anthony Weiner and Huma Abedin.
I mean, too hot to handle for sure.
Yeah. Lava got changed around a little.
It went through a few phases, yeah.
Pottery, glass. Lava, I think, represents pretty well.
It's more elemental.
It's a little bit more elemental.
Yeah, we did do some work to try to make these actually vaguely illuminating about, potentially illuminating.
Well, because bunk science has to sound real.
Well, and these are all psychological constructs that allow us to infer meaning.
There you go.
Accurate or not.
So tell me about our air and water couples I have for season one. Newt and Callista.
Well, air and water obviously creates fog.
Oh.
And anything involving Newt Gingrich obviously includes substantial amounts of fog because it must obscure all sorts of horrible defects
there
about
you go.
Him.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Ferguson and Prince Andrew are a fog couple,
you know,
too,
another
as
couple
well.
That, yeah, it's like not quite clear what their relationship is. That's
and
cool.
And L. Ron Hubbard and his third wife, Mary Sue.
Is she the one who may be dead?
No, she's the one who went to prison for him, the third wife, with all of his corrupt crimes. So that was probably a little foggy.
Yeah, so she was covering for him, basically. She was the fog. Great.
So far in our cross-elemental schemes,
yeah,
we have steam.
Steam.
Lava.
Uh-huh.
Fog. Mm-hmm. We have one more element to cross, air and earth. What you got?
We have a sandstorm. Cover your eyes.
So, sandstorm, interesting. Rudy Giuliani and Judith Nathan. Judith Giuliani, I should say. Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards. Sandstorm. And
blew them away.
Here's a tricky little tricky trick thing. Wallace Simpson and her second husband, Ernest Simpson, and the Prince of Wales are both.
So,
she had two marriages in Sandstorm.
Wow.
She left a Sandstorm to go to a Sandstorm.
Wow.
Just a royal one.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that seems like how their life played out, too.
But we're not done.
No, we're not done.
We're not done.
We got a couple more crosses.
What sort of bonus features did you add to your astrology chart?
Well, no, we're not done yet. We've got air and fire,
mm-hmm.
which obviously is explosion.
Air and fire, explosion. Zelda Fitzgerald and Scott. Zelda Sayre.
Lots of fire.
And Scott Fitzgerald.
Hey, you know what happens when an earth sign marries a water sign?
Tell me.
They get muddy. They turn to mud.
Are mud couples.
Mud couples.
Charles and Diana.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Jim and Tammy Faye.
Well, they're just dirt bags.
Joey and Mary Jo Buttafuoco.
Dirtbags, too.
And Henry VIII and his first wife, Catherine of Aragon.
Well, not sure how to really evaluate Henry VIII's first.
Please see episode one.
20-plus-year-long marriage.
I can do that for you.
hey, you know what happens when a water sign marries a water sign? They drown!
George Harrison and Patty Boyd. We're double waters.
Yeah, seems right, yeah.
And Margaret Mitchell and her first husband, Red Upshaw, were double waters.
He
remember,
got
he
chased
got
out
run
of
out of
town
on
a
rail.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Cool. All right, what you got?
Couple of fire signs.
Ooh.
Burned alive.
Alec and Jocelyn Wildenstein.
Wow. Yep. Interesting.
And you call it bunk science, but keep it up. Keep it up.
I call it a psychological construct that allows us to infer meaning on the world.
And another way to show off your superior smartass skills.
Couple of Earths.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. Henry VIII and Anna Cleves.
Buried alive, which actually she avoided being buried alive there.
Smartest wife there was.
But they were actually only married very briefly, right?
Less than a year, six months. Like it was done before it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, seriously. Anna Cleves. Couple of heirs.
We have a couple of heirs as friends.
Oh, we do have a couple of heirs as friends.
Floated away.
Our floated away couple, Sonny and Cher.
See, that one, of all of these, that's the one I think that makes the most sense to me.
Really? Not Alec and Jocelyn Wildenstein?
Okay, burned alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you created this as a smart-ass thing.
Oh, I did.
Listeners, tell me if there's not some merit in her bunk science.
We'll be applying Nostrology. But no, like with Sonny and Cher, their relationship was built on this dream that, like, against all odds, they were able to achieve.
Yeah.
But then, like, they're just, well, anyway, but it didn't work out. The marriage didn't work out, obviously, but.
I can tina steam.
Boil.
It'll burn you.
Yeah.
Please keep talking. Prove how accurate your Nostrology is for trashy divorces.
It is a psychological construct on which. No, I mean, earlier in my life, I was far more sort of into Zodiac type stuff. Like, I have a lot of sort of baseline knowledge of it. I just don't, at this point in my life, take it that seriously. It's fun to roll my eyes when you bring it up.
I mean, it doesn't. Certainly doesn't rule my life, but it's way easier to build into a profile of our couples than Myers-Briggs.
Oh, sure.
Or Enneagram.
Yeah.
Or DISC. Or anything else that I may find some insight. I'm a psych major, man.
Right, right.
Personality insight to me is fantastic. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Nobody knows this.
No.
Sometimes I do the numerology of the couples. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for the most interesting numerology mix. Maybe that's season two.
Sure, sure.
I don't know what kind of smart ass ideal you'll plan for that.
Oh, I'm already.
Numerology.
I'm already picturing like you having a tarot table at live shows. I mean,
who wants a reading?
But we'll have our own trashy divorces tarot deck. We'll design that.
Who am I to be unhumble enough and proud enough in the world to go, hey, anything that can happen can give us an insight. It just depends on the way it blows our skirt that day. Like, that's the thing. Like, let's get our insight from whatever we can.
Yeah.
We recommend citing real news sources in the world. However, I don't know. It's kind of, there you go. There's your Nostrology.
I think in terms of storytelling, it does require, again, the inference of meaning. You know, like storytelling takes a lot of angles. You squeeze a lot of things into how you present your case for a particular thing. And I don't, there's nothing wrong with using astrology that way.
Well, and I hope one of the things our listeners can appreciate about our blend in trashy divorces is that you and I tell 180 degrees different apart stories.
Pretty true.
Which lends it a nice balance.
I think so.
I think. So there you go.
There you go. All right.
No astrology.
Well, that was our Nostrology update for our patrons with just a very limited amount of tree cutting happening in the neighbor's yards.
Stacey, you're a funny girl. If I have not told you today, which I think I already have about 45 times, you're a funny, funny girl.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming up with some new bunk science for
me.
To play on in season two.
I can't wait. I'll certainly be consulting my Nostrology chart every time you tell me your story.
Hey, patrons, y'all are the best.
Thanks
for supporting us.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you more than you know. Everybody have a kick-ass weekend.
Yep.
Go shine. Shine your stars in the galaxy.
Shine your shoes so they're pretty when you walk outside to reach up to the stars.
Dork. Bye, y'all. Keep it trashy.
Ha! I'm waving. It's a visual
audio
medium.
Boom.
Boom.
Trashy tidbits.
Boom goes the dynamite.
And we'll never be royal.
Trashy tidbits.
Episode one.
Yeah, we're gonna recap some royal stuff because we've learned more and people have volunteered more, and
that's the truth.
We've even received emails at trashydivorces@gmail.com.
We have. So, Elizabeth, you're totally straight up correct. Elizabeth sent in a super nice email with contributions about Tammy Faye Baker that we'll probably talk about on the next episode. But apparently she was really bent and worked up about Wallace Simpson.
And it sounds like she has good reason.
Oh.
Do you have the email open? Because I can read it.
I don't, but I don't have her permission to read it. Yes. So I was just going to talk about it kind of ambiguously.
Perfect.
So she talked about how upset she was
Nazis,
about...
y'all. Nazis.
Yeah. And I had to reply back like, okay, what about Wallace? And Elizabeth made some really good points. Wallace did sell out her friends. She was a big user of people. And she chose her miserable life in account of her own greed and fucking Nazis. And she might not have said fucking Nazis. I might have... No, she just said Nazis because...
You added the fucking Nazis.
Yeah. Legit. The British government sent Wallace and Edward to be ambassadors of like Bermuda or something, and they hated it because it was warm and she still wore her jewels every day and shit. But they tried to get him out because he was sort of flirting. I mean, keep in mind, they've only been the Windsors since 1911. Like,
yeah,
they're the Saxe-Gotha-Coburgs. They speak German. They are German. There's a very distinct tie. There's a lot of stuff about this out there where, yes, Elizabeth, you are correct. They may have been fucking Nazis. I'm pretty sure that's the truth, but I tried to steer away from it in my story.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I think I mentioned, I think I made a King's Speech joke in the episode itself.
You did. And
I feel like it was addressed that... It's been a long time since I saw the movie, but I feel like maybe Churchill tells the new king, like, thank God your brother's gone because he would have sold us out to Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
Something, you know.
Well, here's the deal. Okay, so this is more than I'd come prepared to talk about, but I do know this because I did a shit ton of research and I love this story. Wallace and Edward went to Germany and were courted by Hitler and all of his ministers, and they used the title of Your Highness for her.
Oh.
Which she was never allowed, not allowed, not going to happen.
Yeah.
Nobody, nope, nope. So the...
So there was a lot of...
Germans pre-war kind of... Like they're all cousins.
Some seducing going on,
oh,
some flattery.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they remained very friendly with Germans, many of whom were baddie bad guys for a long time. So, yes, Elizabeth may have just mentioned in her bullet point list a number of times Nazis, and I may have made a gentle correction back. I think you mean fucking Nazis.
Sure.
Because I wanted to talk about it, but I hesitated because we're focusing in on the trashy divorces, which is sometimes the hardest part. But you have other stuff about Diana that came up.
Well, about Charles, in fact. Charles.
We had no idea that that would delight everybody as much as it did. But I'm going to pause and shut up. Do it again.
Charles. Charles. That's my Lord Mountbatten impression.
It's
who
so
I've
amazing.
I've never heard him speak. I don't know. He probably sounds nothing.
Like I think that. He sounds exactly like that.
Cool. Anyway, so there was this thing where, like we talked about in the episode, where there was speculation that Mountbatten wanted Charles to court and marry his granddaughter.
Yes.
And then Mountbatten was assassinated by the Irish Republican Army.
Correct.
So it turns out that Charles actually proposed to her.
What?
Her name is Amanda Natchbull.
Natch.
It was a little weird because Mountbatten is Charles' great uncle, so I don't know, but I know whatever.
Oh, God.
This is why
that even blows my family.
I know it's why they all have hemophilia.
We'll have to work that out for the. I don't, trashy crumb episode.
I don't know that any of these people have hemophilia, but you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Anyway, so Mountbatten was assassinated by the Irish Republican Army. And apparently around this time, Charles proposed to her. They were going to take a trip to India together or something like that. Like, he was ready to close that deal.
Was it like a bonded in grief kind of thing, do you think?
I don't think it was. She rejected him.
Oh.
Because her, you know, diplomat, general, whatever, her famous political grandfather had just been murdered for political reasons.
She was like, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, and she was like, I don't know if the royal family is where I'm going to feel safe. Very much like, I think I mentioned to you that Carolyn Kennedy, I saw her.
Yeah.
You know, someone asked why she doesn't run for office, and she was like, because I'm a Kennedy, and in my family, running for office means you get assassinated. Like, not cool.
Hey, you know what? Lady Amanda Knatchbull gets a gold star from us. Because there's been some ultimate detriment within this particular story. So, I'm sorry, had you wrapped up? I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah, she is apparently Lady Amanda Patricia Victoria Ellingworth.
Oh.
These days. She's a British social worker who holds a portfolio of directorships.
Oh, good for her.
There you go. Oh, this is so funny because Diana was a kindergarten teacher when Charles met her. Her early career was in UK social work, specializing in children's services and child protection.
Aw, well.
Sounds like he kind of has a type a little bit.
Good on you, Amanda. Yeah. Lady Amanda.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheerio.
Okay, so one other wrap-up.
Mm-hmm. Royal wrap-up? Royal recap?
I mean, royal recap. I have just a few different lines to go down. So I may have gotten tipsy the other night and called my mom. Hey, Mom, you know, have you checked out Trashy Divorces yet? Dear listener, my mother is not a Patreon subscriber and should not hear this. And if so, we may yank this episode. So listen fast.
Enjoy.
Stacey, I don't know what the fuck got into me. However, so I mentioned to her like some of the ones that may be good. She sends me a text message the next morning. I have listened to your podcast. I found it very enjoyable.
Oh, that's nice.
But I have some corrections for you.
Well, it's your mother.
So apparently, the thing that she remembers about Charles and Diana is the test of Diana's virginity and how, like, Vegas oddmakers were going on. Was she a virgin? Was she not a virgin? Apparently, this rule has been relaxed. It's been in place since Victorian times.
Sure.
There's a lot of controversy about it. There's an interesting article in Vanity Fair about it. What I think is... Go ahead.
The odds that Will and Kate...
Come on.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Waity Katie? She waiting around for it? Come
it's
on, Anne Boleyn.
The 21st century. Mm-hmm. The odds that Will and Kate spent their first night together after their wedding is... No, that's not how that happened.
It didn't happen in Tudor times.
Charles and Camilla, of course, had...
Okay, so here's the other weird thing. I didn't mention it, and I really should have in... the episode, but I'm glad I didn't because I get to talk about it now.
Wait, like, can I interrupt really quickly?
Yeah.
You said they didn't do this in Tudor times.
Did do this. Like,
oh, they did. I was going to say, I could swear I've seen a film of Elizabeth I where they check her virginity or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a thing. This is a big
thing.
It's
a bullshit thing, but it's
so my mother decided to tell me about the big news being the check on Diana's virginity. And the problem with Camilla wasn't that she was Camilla. She wasn't a virgin. And that's why she was X'd out of consideration.
That sounds about right. But how...
Apparently there's been a law since like 1890.
Is that just the whisper? Would that just have been the whisper in the circles that the queen would know that Camilla, whatever her maiden name was not a virgin?
Yeah, apparently Diana's uncle Fermoy put a thing out in the press that Diana was a virgin. Like, I'm not kidding. Okay, in the UK, there's no statute that mandates a royal bride to be a virgin.
They didn't even write their constitution down.
In fact, the only official marriage law is the Royal Marriages Act of 1772, which requires any descendant of George II to ask the reigning monarch for permission before he proposes, because marriage is in the royal family. But this is the thing. You had to ask Henry VIII's permission to get any kind of marriage in a lord or lady.
Like, right, in the court. Yeah.
Exactly. So apparently...
Well, somebody must have broken that rule, which is... And so Parliament was like, nah, we're going to make it a law then. Meh.
No, that's exactly right. Like, where you had to marry royalty. After all the nah, scurrilous nonsense, and then Charles, and let's... Anyway, not the point. 2 points. Diana Spencer.
Yes.
Is actually related to Mary Boleyn, Anne Boleyn's sister. What?
Which means she's related to Anne Boleyn?
Through the Carey line. So it's a different sort of, it's a different descendant through her husband. But Mary Boleyn and William Carey had a child that begat the son of the Lord that took the blah, blah, blah.
You know what?
Okay, but
I'm
apparently
glad you know this.
Royal starfuckers are not new. So I know I talked about this in the Henry VIII episode, that the court scandal and the court drama and all the court family factions, which if you really want to get into like Tudor nerd history, I can go down because it's all there. But apparently Diana's paternal ancestors had been ass-kissingly enthusiastic courtiers. They first tried to get previous ancestor engaged. The current Earl Spencer states in his family memoir, The Spencers, in the late 1720s, his distant ancestress Sarah, Duchess of Marlborough, had been the confident and rumored lesbian lover of Queen Anne, secretly arranged for her favorite granddaughter, Lady Diana Spencer.
I'm pretty sure that is
to marry Frederick, Prince of Wales.
Confidant and rumored, not the confident and rumored lover, but the confidant.
Did I say confident? Oh, hell no. Confidant.
Because that's different.
I'm sorry. I got so excited about
that's
rumored lesbian lover.
Okay.
Charlatan.
Sorry. So Queen Anne had a rumored lesbian lover.
Apparently, who was one of Diana's, right? So Frederick, Prince of Wales, was George II's heir. Both frequently strapped royal father and son were alleged to have been highly enthusiastic about the match, especially after Sarah Churchill agreed to pay them £100,000 for the privilege of Prince Frederick taking her granddaughter's hand in matrimony. So there is apparently a whole family system of, from that point onward, Diana's ancestors plotted and waited for the right moment. So there's some supposition that her family, one of her ancestors is the Duchess. That book is about her, Georgiana.
Okay.
What's her face? Actress was in it.
I am.
We'll cut this part.
100% sure that there is an audience for this information, and I am 100% sure that that audience is not me. So
anyway,
I'm glad we have a podcast where you can share this with people who love this information.
Dude, I'm such a nerd rabbit hole about this stuff.
Does that cover our Royals recap?
I think it does. Fucking Nazis. Okay. Wallace is kind of a jerk. I probably made her sound better than I should have in the episode. I do think it's sad, though, when you choose your own fate and it's the wrong. I mean, it's your fate, but you kind of choose the wrong path that you're miserable in because of your own. Like, you can't even get out of your own way to find a different destiny for yourself.
Well, and a little bit along those lines. So in the episode, I said Charles got...
What do you mean?
No, Charles got back together with Camilla because of his grief over the loss of his uncle. And that certainly, I'm sure, played a role. But he also suffered a romantic rejection from
Amanda.
The woman he intended to marry at that point, which sent him back to Camilla. And so, I don't know, perhaps if Amanda had said yes, then the Camilla thing just would have stayed in the past. I don't know. You know, hard to say.
It's fascinating.
But as a Mountbatten or a whatever, she's a... What was the last name I said? I closed the...
Trunchbull. No, not Trunchbull. That's Matilda.
Natchbull. Natchbull something.
Natchbull.
Anyway, but as a Mountbatten descendant, she might have worked out better as a royal partner.
Yeah.
At least from the queen's perspective. Right, from the royal... Like, I think that Diana worked out fabulously from the perspective of everyone who does not live at Buckingham Palace part of the year.
I would agree with that, yes.
Yeah. Right up until a car accident.
Well, and William and Harry. I think they like her.
Yeah. Well, true. Well,
and
I mean,
Sarah Ferguson.
I mean, the old generation. I mean,
sure. No, she was revolutionary.
She was awesome.
She really was revolutionary and put a...
This is a pro-Diana podcast.
We really are. So we can be clear. Team Diana. Yeah.
Not that she didn't fuck up, but
no,
like...
No, we're also Team Sarah. I may put it out for one more poll, but I think my episode 12 divorce song story I wanted to do that I haven't told yet is Sarah Ferguson and Andrew, Duke of York. I love it. I love it. Here's your secret preview. They're the happiest divorced couple alive.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Done.
Because, you know, it's Patreon and these are trashy tidbits, not full episodes. So let's wrap that up.
They're just grocery bags, Villa.
They're little, yeah.
Done.
They're not like the 13-gallon size that goes in your kitchen can. They're the little like Kroger or King Soopers or whatever your Safeway bag.
Would Louis Mountbatten like to lead us out?
I died by a bomb. Good night.
No, don't. Oh. No. No. I died by a bomb. Jesus Christ. What the hell was that?
So he died. He's
no.
Leading us out, both of the episode and his life.
No. The beauty of doing a podcast with your wife. What the fuck? No.
And scene.
Ta-da. Stacey, you have some breaking news about one of our...
The Rue is Lou. Rudy is loose anyway.
Oh, Rudy Giuliani.
Jesus Christ. Fucker. Okay, so he's still going through his shitty divorce.
I'm sorry, I think you mean Rudy Giuliani
is a scumbag. True story. Anyway,
how's he been popping in the news cycle?
He's just shift around because he just makes me uncomfortable. Rudy Giuliani had a court hearing related to his divorce. They're fighting over
Judith Nathan.
Yeah, Judith Nathan. Yeah. So they've been at this for close to a year now. I think she filed last April. It's March.
Now, I'm sorry. Can you remind me again? Because that was episode one, and we've heard a lot of trash.
We have heard a lot of trashy things. Okay, so
Rudy Giuliani and Judith Nathan. That's not Gracie Mansion.
No, that was Donna Hanover. So Rudy and Judith, not Judy, not Rudy and Judy, because that would be weird. Rudy and Judith have been married since I think 2003.
Yeah,
15 years, give or take. A year ago,
was a cigar bar.
Yes, she was the Pharma Girl.
Always ain't no party like a Pharma Girl party because Pharma Girl party don't stop. Got it. Okay, I'm all caught up. I remember now which one she is. Go.
So they've been married. I mean, she was his mistress during 9/11, and then his wife during his presidential campaign.
There's nothing going on here.
Right. My very good friend. Whatever. Anyway, so last April, she files for divorce.
Like
kind
you
of
do.
A shocker. Natch. Rudy calls all his media friends like, it's always 50-50 in these divorce things.
Oh, that's right.
Issues on both sides, whatever. It's just such self-serving bullshit because he was having an affair.
Garbage,
which he's apparently still having. With the
Oh, good. Well.
So anyway, they have this court thing. They're fighting over money. There's a house. They're fighting over stuff.
Everything, like people do.
But for some reason, in court, Rudy Giuliani, former federal prosecutor, experienced lawyer.
Of SDNY. Yeah.
This piece of shit, he's like apparently just shouting like, God damn it, and that's bullshit. And like,
like court testimony?
I don't even think he was on the stand. I think he was
other people on the stand or whatever was being, what a.
I think maybe, I don't know. He was like yelling at his wife's lawyers.
My God.
But I'm pretty sure that like a normal person in a courtroom who just starts shouting profanities is going to be in a lot of trouble with the judge.
Yeah, he wasn't in trouble with the judge.
Does not appear to have been in trouble with the judge.
Really?
I mean, the judge like went after the judge was like, you guys have made this into
gavel
a circus.
Him down. Yeah.
Well, he was just disappointed in the pair of them.
Wow.
But yeah, as far as at least from the Page Six reporting, there was no, like, it wasn't like,
is bullshit.
The judge didn't threaten him with contempt or anything, which, like, he was clearly acting with contempt. It's like,
to have the privilege of
sure
a rich white man.
Oh my God, you are just not kidding. I mean, what does,
if you were any other sex or color,
white
that would have never happened
have
in a court.
To do yeah. in this country to get in trouble? Nothing. Oh,
bribe your
kid
into college. Apparently. That's a pretty good way to do it.
Okay. So there are some rules.
You know, I heard a neat thing, like not neat, it's trash, but that whole scandal got uncovered because a Yale dad was being prosecuted for like securities fraud or something.
Oh, we do go after white collar criminals sometimes.
Right, apparently we do. And he was like, hey, I know you think I'm a, you know, pretty tasty fish, but hold on. Let me show you where this
heard a thing
school of dirty, dirty fish are hanging out. And let me tell you that you can catch a lot more in your net than just
wow.
me. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I mean,
insane.
Did it not surprise anyone when the Yale tennis team didn't actually have any players? I don't understand.
Want your kid in the school, you donate $2 million into the building fund.
These are super rich
people. Or the
people.
Trust.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you do. Like, you guys aren't even good at doing this. There are ways that this is done every single day.
And it's always been done.
By people with way more money than you. That, like, really? Donald Trump was accepted to, where the fuck did he go? Penn State?
I think Penn, yeah.
Jared Kushner?
Jared Kushner did not get into Harvard.
Did not get into Harvard on his own fucking merit. Come on. I think his payoff was like $2 million.
I think his dad, his dad gave $2 million to the school.
Yeah. I mean, that probably gets your, like, there is a very long and lengthy historical precedent of how to buy your kid's way into college. It's not pretend they're on the fucking crew team.
Yeah, like, fun fact about Lil Kush. So Matt Iglesias, the Vox writer and podcaster, went to Harvard with Kush.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not clear on whether he knew him or not, but he's occasionally sort of mentioned, like, you know, like, he's just not that smart.
Crazy.
And that's, you know, there's... Yeah.
Is that all that's happening? And oh no, something else is going on in New York with trashy divorces this week. Tell me about the fucking billboard.
Oh, the Maclo thing. So the Maclo
divorce. Let's give everybody the drop on that.
Well, we're gonna cover the Maclo divorce next season.
Hint, hint. But what happened? Something super trashy happened this week.
Like, okay, let me see if I can do this in a 60-second nutshell. This is like our New York update, I guess. So Harry Maclo is a big time property developer in New York City. One of the most ruthless people alive, apparently. It wouldn't surprise me.
Okay.
But like, he's worth a couple billion, right?
Wow.
He's been at this since the 60s. He, at one time or another, has owned most of New York.
Holy crap.
The tallest residential tower in the hemisphere he built it. Yeah,
okay.
He's a big deal. So in 2016, he comes home to their Plaza Hotel apartment. Says to his wife of almost 60 years, hey, Linda, turns out I've got a girlfriend. had her over at this other building I own, and and I'm out. I want to marry her.
Wait a minute. Married for 6 years. How old is he?
He's 81 right now.
How old is the girlfriend?
60-something.
Oh, so at least younger, moderately age-appropriate. Yeah, she's not like 22.
No.
Okay.
No. So yeah, they've been embroiled in this like really
Holy
trashy
cats.
Divorce for the last two-plus years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like it was finally finalized, and he got married to the girlfriend.
Oh my God.
Like a week ago. We got tagged in so much social media when this story hit
amazing.
The New York Times, because what he did, what was it, Fifth Avenue? He hung these like 40-foot tall banners off a building of him
what
and his new wife just to taunt his ex-wife, who admittedly made the divorce harder than it needed to be. But on the other hand, why wouldn't she? Like, what possible incentive did she have to be nice about anything? So,
so back in the day when I was doing a lot of training classes, I'd always just like toss out different questions with shit and be like, hey guys, what's the opposite of love? Inevitably, every class answers hate. And I'm like, nope, nope, nope. It's indifference. Indifference is the opposite of love, and indifference is the opposite of hate. Love and hate are right there together, and they are so finely like threaded in together. I mean, trashy divorces, man, people do amazing and terrible things for love or hate. And it is, there's no lack of material ever that we will have.
You know, I think I did see, though, that his ex-wife is going to appeal the divorce ruling.
Excuse me? Like, you're divorced. You can't, how do you appeal the divorce ruling?
They have a massive art collection because they're that kind of rich.
Oh,
she's a trustee at the
art comes up.
Guggenheim, I think.
Yeah, sure.
And she wants to keep the art collection. And every time he does something that pisses her off, she makes a play for the art.
Oh.
And it,
well,
so,
after 60 years, you know how to push somebody's buttons.
Yeah, well,
that
so,
is, and I'm just going to
so,
toy
yeah,
with you.
So he got married, you know, like weeks after the divorce decree
came
down.
So she's going for the Degas?
So she's, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, we're keeping an eye on that one. We're definitely covering it in season two.
Definitely. Oh, it's a pretty good matchup right now. The matchup that's lined up is pretty good. Ta-da-da-da-da-da! Those were your New York City and Environs Trashy Divorces updates for
yeah,
the week.
If you see Rudy on the street, man, ask if that guy's okay. Something's wrong with him.
I'm like, punch his face.
That
I mean, where's the Eggman when you need him?
Let's not.
Coo-coo-ca-choo.
The hero we need.
Hey, y'all. Keep it trashy. Take all the trash candy. Safety third.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for being our patrons.
You guys rock.
Bye.
Bye. Trashy Divorces is a Hemlock Creatives production.
Our music is by Ratsy.
You can find her on Instagram at Ratsy's Store.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith.
You can find her art at sydneyvsmith.carbonmade.com.
We are on all kinds of social media.
At Trashy Divorces, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
We're on Patreon.
Holy cats, are we on Patreon?
We sure are.
Find some super fun bonus content there.
Totally.
Tell a friend about Trashy Divorces.
Like, rate, review.
And if you have communication for us or are desperate to tell us your near and dear trashy divorce, send us email to
trashydivorces@gmail.com.
Man, that's the outro business.
We've made it pretty easy.
Keep it classy, friends.
Don't take trash candy from strangers.